Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff covers everything for us. And Jeff, this past Saturday night, I flicked on the dial, and he was doing the Pitt-Syracuse game. Great job by you, Jeff. It was much appreciated, I'm sure, by the listeners. And how was your experience?
Thanks. It was incredible. I love doing that stuff. It was I had a lot of fun. And, hey, Pitt got its 10th win, so they made it really easy for me. They had a good game.
I heard the Pony may have stuck you guys with the bill for something, though. Like, Larry was talking yesterday about how you were out to dinner, and Pony tried to play like he was all big time and got you seats at some restaurant, got you a table at some restaurant, and then
that
you showed
true.
Up. No one was there. It was half empty, so Pony didn't really pull any juice at all. And then he tried ordering like a special bottle of wine to your table, but his credit card didn't go through, and you guys got stuck paying for it.
That may also be true.
Yeah.
May also be true.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a good deal. Not a good deal. All right. We'll talk about the Steelers. We'll get back to Pitt. How bad is the timing by Chase Claypool after getting blistered by Ryan Clark, after Joe Schobert a couple weeks ago said they don't practice right, after Cam Hayward has said it in the past? You may want music and more loose and fun in practice, but the timing is ridiculous to me to say what he said yesterday.
Yeah, it's funny because as soon as I saw it, because I did the Minka Zoom and Jim did the Claypool Zoom, and as soon as I saw it, I texted Jim and just said, like, what was he thinking? Like, what's he doing? Like, even if he was joking, and Jim's like, oh, no, he wasn't joking. That was the, you know, it's a mindset. It's, you know, I think this. Here's what I would do if I'm Tomlin. I'm going all Belichick. Like, I'm inviting guys to try out during practice at different positions and having it right on the field adjacent to where they're practicing so everyone can see it. Like, they need some more urgency. And, you know, to say music, that was a bad look.
Well, what is the sense of urgency organizationally, Jeff? Because we talked a lot of big picture stuff yesterday coming out of this loss and where they sit as a franchise. And does anybody down there, Mike Tomlin or above, or below Mike Tomlin, for that, does anybody in the organization understand that they are at a really big inflection point for the future of this franchise?
Yeah, I think what needs to happen is they have to have a hard conversation of, okay, we're 5-5-1. Are we really, with this schedule, going to go on a 6-game run or go 5-1 or 4-2 and be into a playoff-type scenario? Or, let's be real, do we not have the talent to compete, and how do we use these 6 games to our advantage to get ready for next year? I think it's the latter, but they might think it's the former. I mean, this is an organization that always plays for the playoffs, and I admire that. I do. However, this year, that was a mistake from the beginning of the year to think we have the talent. Well, you know, if all these things go right and this happens, you have to have depth in the NFL. And while you could look at your starters and say, okay, they had a chance at the beginning, once they started getting injuries, they didn't have the backups due to salary cap and other reasons to be able to compete at the highest level. So I think that's where the mistake started, was beginning of the year. I think if they would have evaluated and said, let's look at some other options, or let's think about how we want to handle this, I think that would have been better than what they did.
Is Kevin Colbert catching enough heat the past couple weeks for what the Steelers are going through?
No, he needs blame for this, and it's not just blame of, oh, it's guys they drafted. It's, you know, they got stuck with contracts, and they made some bad decisions. But you know what? This is also the NFL. This is the way this thing is set up, and almost every team goes through ebbs and flows, and the Steelers have been riding high for a long time, and it is inevitable for every team, I mean, even the Patriots struggled last year to go through some type of valley. And, you know, the Patriots got into a situation where they got a huge salary cap relief because they just admitted that last year wasn't going to be a year they were going to win. And they got rid of salary, and they were able to draft high enough to get an impact quarterback and bring in a lot of guys defensively in the offseason they were able to sign because they had salary cap room, because they realized that last year wasn't going to be their year.
Well, and it just strikes me, Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan Sports Director with us here on The Fan Morning Show. It strikes me, Jeff, that there's no direction. There's no guiding philosophy. There's no identity. And that filters down to having no identity on game day on either side of the ball, to be quite honest. It all starts at the top with, well, what the hell are the Pittsburgh Steelers these days?
It was supposed to be a defensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, that was going into the season. If Ben can make a couple of throws, then, you know, they could win games by scoring 17, 20 points because their defense is going to keep them in games. Obviously, that has not happened the last 2 weeks. As Megan Fitzpatrick pointed out, and he's right, I mean, it is a fact that they have lost people due to injury. It's not necessarily as much an excuse, but their lack of physicality is alarming for a Steeler team. And that reflects on a lot of people, the individuals included. But that's the thing to me. To sit in Cincinnati and watch Joe Mixon clown them for minutes of the fourth quarter, I mean, hopping up and down on the sidelines, yelling at the Steelers, and the Steelers could do nothing about it because Mixon had just, you know, finished his game after running all over them.
All right, well, here's the deal. You've covered the preseason and camp. You've covered regular season. You covered postseason. You've covered aftermaths your whole career. Do you foresee this when it's this all said and done, the Steelers crossing their arms, sitting back and saying, and they inviting you to some powwow, some end of season thing, and Art the Second and Mike Tomlin and those guys just saying, well, Jeff, in the assembled media, I mean, Tyson Alualu got hurt. Well, what do you want us to do? Like, are they going to do that again and find convenient excuses that there may be some half-truth in, but it's just that's too much?
It'll be telling what they do. I think they have some reality. You know, they'll say we made these mistakes and we need to do this better. They've said that before. I mean, how many times has Art Rooney said we need to rush the ball better?
But they're not doing that.
Right. And that's where they have to look deep within themselves and see if there's whether it's a flaw in what they're doing, whether it's, I think some of it is, you know, you're drafting lower year after year after year. You made some trades that may not have worked out. I mean, this draft, they only have a couple of draft picks. So, you know, they've made some decisions to win now that haven't paid off. And when they've had those opportunities, they didn't do it. So they're paying the price. Like the Penguins, you know, went all in to try to win now. And, you know, their drafts have suffered, and they don't have a lot of depth in their organization right now. The Steelers are at the same spot. When you're playing that many rookies, there are some issues with how you planned to get to this point.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to bring up, Jeff. I think part of the problem is the refusal to acknowledge where they're at. And that starts even a few years ago when they really – on one hand, they're drafting a quarterback that they say they have a first-round grade on as a possible future replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, but at the same time, they're not acknowledging that their offensive line all over the age of 30 is going to need to be rebuilt over the next several years, and you end up with this year's offensive line, which has two rookies, which is patchwork together, which isn't getting the job done. And that's just one example of how it feels like failing to plan and failing to admit what they were and honestly acknowledge what they were going to become if they didn't take care of things and develop a plan has finally caught up with them.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Chris. And I also get, you know, the intoxication of, you know what, our defense is pretty good. You know, as I look at this league, look, we were 11-0 last year. Like, I still think we've got this in them. You know, if this falls right and you get into that trap where you think you're better than what you are, and it's kind of that honest self-evaluation that I don't think they had this offseason. I think they got enamored with what happened in the first 11 games last year, even though some of them weren't pretty, that, okay, we can do this. We're still a playoff team. We've got Roethlisberger. We can make a run at the Super Bowl, when the reality was they were nowhere close to that.
In March, is Matt Canada the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I, I don't want to – I don't know. I would say yes, because they're typically patient, you know, after 1 year. But, I mean, has he earned it? I wouldn't say so.
Is Matt Canada the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
He is, and that is not going well. But it's not all on him, to be fair. I mean, when you have that many rookies in an offense – and, you know, your quarterback's not at the same level that he was. I don't think you can completely judge him based on this year, given the personnel that he's had.
Well, then who's calling the defense then? Let's go to that side of the ball.
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's a combination of Butler and Tomlin. And, and you could call all the defenses you want. If guys aren't rallying to the ball and they're not tackling, I don't care what kind of defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were getting blown off the line. Now, again, understandable to a point because they're putting, like, the entire offensive line on Cam Hayward and then blocking these other guys who just don't belong in the NFL at this point right now along that defensive line. So it's just a bad scene with this team right now, and I don't see how it's going to get better over the next six games.
Jeff Hathorn, our very own. Jeff, lots of things on the website. I tooled through it, either way, this morning and checked it all out. Why don't you tell people what is there that they can consume?
Yeah, Micah Fitzpatrick had some interesting things to say about the practice habits and other thoughts on the defense. That's up. You can hear the whole interview there. And if you kind of miss because you're following football, all the Pirates moves, there's a story that kind of encapsulates all the different changes that have happened over the last few days. So, of course, Jim and I will have Mike Tomlin and Pitt football today as well.
Jeff, you're the best. We thank you so very much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
That's our very own Jeff Hathorn. You can check out all his work on our website, on the air, everything. He did the Pitt play-by-play the other night. He's just Mr. Versatile. He does it all, and he's just spectacular. Follow us. We're on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. 745, Bryant McFadden, the B-Mac. Can't wait to talk to him because he is oh so good.
Wanted to touch on it real quick because there's a ton to talk about this morning, and we'll get into it a little bit more later in the 9 o'clock hour. But if you stayed up and watched the Pens game against the Flames, whew, you're praising Tristan Jarry this morning. He's probably one of the few, if only, reasons they escaped Calgary with a point, losing a shootout 2-1. Mike Sullivan, not exactly enamored with their play.
Mike, other than your goaltender's performance, is it difficult to find anything that you're real pleased with this evening?
Yes.
Any explanation for that?
No.
One-word answers from Sully, not happy. But again, Jarry stood tall. I thought he played really well. I mean, it was a goaltender's duel, and he hung in there right until the shootout and still made five saves in a seven-round shootout.
I don't get that from any coach. And this isn't speaking as a member of the media. It's just speaking from someone that consumes sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it that hard to just have a real conversation and not act that way? Whether you're Mike Tomlin or Sullivan or Clint Hurdle used to be like that sometimes.
Pete Carroll walking out last weekend on a press conference. I can't do this.
Like, how hard is it? Like, that was Josh Yowie, who's a really good reporter and respected around town. And, again, sometimes media members ask dumb questions that deserve one-word answers and that don't really deserve your time. But, like, is it that hard to just expound a little bit on that? And Mike Sullivan's a really good coach. Who are you motivating by doing that? Or what is...
I don't even know if he's thinking about anything else other than I'm going to keep my comments limited so I don't fly off the handle. And he got into a little bit more detail later about how they didn't do anything really well and they didn't play with the right level of energy and da 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 da. So he did give a little bit more of a detailed answer later, but I understand your point.
It's hard for the American consumer to not look at these people and say they really have a warped sense of self-importance. Whenever you hear, at least that's my view of it. I look at these coaches a lot of times and I say, yeah, we build them up as a society. And I understand how many people consume their games and whatever. But can't you just be a human and talk to other humans like a human?
Again, I get what you're saying. In a lot of respects, I'm 100% on board with you.
I'm not asking anybody to agree. I'm just stating what my opinion is. You don't have to agree. I'm just saying. I don't feel like I have to.
I'm just telling you.
We make all this big, long thing about be the kind kid and do all this or whatever. And coaches, by and large, act like jackasses.
Well, I guess the point I was trying to make is that I don't think Mike Sullivan gave Yoey one-word answers there because he was trying to flame or dart Yoey. I think he's just pissed off, to be quite honest. And he doesn't want to fly off the handle, so he's trying to keep his comments limited. And I get that. I do. I get that. If it were him trying to, you know, if it were like Tomlin does with some reporters where he purposely darts them the one-word answer – because he doesn't like their question, I think it would be a little bit different. And that's where I'm on board with you.
Well, if you're a hyper-competitive guy that's insanely and intensely competitive, and you're worried about just in the aftermath of a game not being able to control yourself, then just get rid of these press conferences. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's just I've thought about this long and hard. It's like, I know how frustrating it can be, but that guy isn't your enemy. Neither are the questions that are being asked. Just don't even do it then. It's really weird. Like, we'll see it today, and Mike Tomlin will have 3 days to think about it.
And Mike Tomlin will have a handful of questions that he responds to in that way. And like I said, I'm totally on board with what you're talking about in regards to that. In the immediate aftermath of a game, I guess maybe I'll grant people a little bit more leeway. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus at the top of the hour, 30 minutes from now. Bryant McFadden in 15 minutes. Coming up next, you're going to want to hear what somebody said about how exactly things are functioning on the defensive side of the ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and how they've functioned for a long time. That's next. 7:33 on your Tuesday morning. Time to stop out to Century 3 Chevrolet for their used.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Car super sale. You can call or text us. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line open and available to you at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminding you to text responsibly. The acclaimed Aditi Kinkabwala of NFL Network. She joins Pony and Muller every Monday afternoon for a solid hour of Steelers talk. And she was asked a question about Mike Tomlin's input on the offensive game plan, especially a reinforcement of, hey, we need to run the football. And it led down the path of the other side of the ball somehow. Listen to this from Aditi yesterday on the PM team.
Why doesn't Mike Tomlin tell the offensive coordinator, run the ball? Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do. Matt Canada has the autonomy that he is given. And Mike Tomlin as the head coach has every right and every ability to step in, especially for a first-year coordinator, and to say, this is how we're going to do it. Because you know what? Mike Tomlin has done that on defense. He did that at the end of Dick LeBeau's tenure, and he's done it through the entire Keith Butler tenure. Keith Butler has never designed or called a defense in the entire time that he's been the defensive coordinator. So why can't Mike Tomlin step in and say that to the offensive coordinator?
It's a pretty striking revelation.
Yeah.
Because that's a finite timetable, and that's a definitive statement. Never. Not... He's stepped in and taken the reins a couple different times, or maybe right. for a couple games here and there. Or when things weren't going good, we've known Mike. The Didi is making the claim, the steadfast and hard claim. And I'm not here to judge whether she's right or wrong. I'm just saying she's owning this claim that Keith Butler has never been in command of the defense. He's never been allowed to make calls. I understand what it's like to, if you talk to coaches, to be that coordinator on the side of the ball that your head coach is brought up in. You know, it's much like being Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Is he making the play calls or is Andy Reid?
Right.
Anytime that you're a coordinator for a head coach who's schooled on that side of the ball, you don't necessarily have the power that someone would have who's on the other side of the ball as your head coach, you know? But that being said, you at least would think you'd have input and make some of the play calls. She is saying in this whole time that Keith Butler has never schemed and never once made a play call. I'm not saying I find that hard to believe, but it is a striking revelation.
It is, but at the same time, as striking a revelation as it is, I'm not totally shocked by it. I'm not. You know, given the way we sort of did some armchair psychoanalysis of Mike Tomlin yesterday and talked about a lot of big picture stuff in the aftermath of this loss and where this team is, when you think about it, it falls in line with a guy who doesn't necessarily like to hire young, up-and-coming, cutting-edge assistant coaches, right? That he wants to be the guy controlling everything. Not just the narrative outside the building. He wants to control the feeling inside the building. He wants to be the primary point of contact for the players with the coach. Hey, Coach Tomlin is the guy I feel like I can trust.
Right.
He's the guy, right? He wants to be that for every single guy in the locker room, up to and including, I'm going to call the plays on game day.
Yeah, which then would lend to the notion and pour more water into the bucket of the notion that I just want yes men around me. I want to mm-hmm. be in charge. I don't want anybody to have more influence than me. And I want to make sure that I'm in control of everything. So now we go back and forth. Should Keith Butler be doing more? Keith Butler has shouldered a lot of the blame.
Right.
If Aditi's revelation yesterday, and this is a revelation, this is, I think, a big deal. Because it's being reported by somebody who covers the team every day, and it's being reported as a something with, again, that's big, and that is, there's no wavering to it. It's a 100% report.
And it's somebody who's been reported on the team since previous to Butler becoming the D coordinator, right? Aditi's been here, what, like a decade now? 10 years, I think?
Right.
So it's not like she's just popping on the scene. She's been privy to the Tomlin-Butler dynamic the entire time it's existed.
Then it lends two questions. What does Keith Butler do? And also, then shouldn't the responsibility and then furthermore the blame be laid solely at Mike Tomlin's feet? Because then Keith Butler's just a linebackers Keith coach Butler's and, just, and yep, organizer.
That's, I was going to say, you want to know what Keith Butler's doing? He's coaching up the linebackers. That's what Keith Butler's doing. And you know what? You want to know who should shoulder the blame for where this defense is right now? The head coach. Because he's also the defensive coordinator, it sounds like. Or at the very least, he's the one making calls on game day. You know, I am all for Mike Tomlin heaping more and more of the responsibility for what's happening with this team on his shoulders. I am all for that. But I also hope that when the Rooneys take a step back this offseason, because we know they're not going to fire Mike Tomlin, right? That's let's deal in reality for just a little bit. They're not going to fire Mike Tomlin. But I hope they look at it and say, listen, Mike, we heard you talk more than ever this year about how you were calling this and you were calling that. You were jumping in on the offensive side of the ball. And listen, we appreciate that, but none of it worked. And maybe it's time you get yourself some young, up-and-coming, cutting-edge coordinators and take more of a CEO role. I mean, if that's out, because that's where we're at, Mike. It's that or get us 9 wins in a wild card spot next year or you're done. You know?
Yeah. How not? And, you know, then this is something where, like, this is a follow-up that is right on a tee for someone today at the Mike Tomlin news conference.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, it's been stated by local media in a report that Keith Butler's never made a defensive call. Do you make all the defensive calls? Well, I'm not going to get into the schematics. He needs to know that people think that, though.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to know that you know if it's in fact true.
And we'll get the standard Mike Tomlin answer of, you know, it's a process, we're all involved, yada-da-da-da-da-da. But you're right. He needs to – more importantly than that, and I just referenced Art Rooney – Art needs to know. Kevin Colbert needs to know. The upper echelons of the Steelers organization. Thomas Tull, who's an important part of ownership. Those are the people that need to say, hey, wait a second.
Or the report needs to be discounted. One of the two things has to happen. Because it doesn't have to. But if you consume this team, it's what you want to see happen. Either you need to move forward with the notion that Mike Tomlin has total power over the defense and he's making all the play calls, or the report is erroneous. Like, that's what I want to know this morning, and that's what I want to know watching the Steelers' defense, because I want to know who to yell at when I look at my television. Because Aditi made it a zero-sum situation. She made it an all-or-nothing proposition.
Right. Never has Keith Butler made a call. Never. Man. So you're telling me every issue with the defense since Butler became defensive coordinator is really ultimately on Mike Tomlin?
He has the same job as Jerry O.
Yeah. And they just gave him that title so somebody could have that title.
Correct.
Whew. Bryant McFadden, he's been on the defensive side of the ball for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the past. We'll ask him if he feels the same way. Ryan Clark, who went off a little bit yesterday on ESPN, a former teammate of his, feels about the Steelers and the identity or lack thereof of this team right now. BMAC next.
Does anybody bring more heat, more fire? Fire emoji for BMAC. Bryant McFadden joining us right now. Man, we'd love to talk to him. All Things Covered is the podcast. Check it all out. 2-time champion of the world. He said he once introduced. No, he doesn't say that, but I always do it. B-Mac, good morning to you. How you doing, man?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are great. I will ask a question, then step aside and give you the floor. You saw your former teammate, you saw your former Steeler brethren, Ryan Clark, say what he said about the Steelers yesterday, and B-Mac said what?
He was dead on. You know, Ryan sees things from a different perspective than most fans, because he actually has on a uniform, and he knows exactly what goes through your body when you put that uniform on. Heck, you know, something goes through your body when you walk through the facility there on the south side with all the tradition and all the prestige that comes with rocking and wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. So he sees things from a different perspective because he understands what the standard is. And clearly, the standard hasn't been reached. And you saw Ryan only basically hit on defensively, the defensive issues, because that's near and dear to his heart. And if you're still a fan, if you grew up a Steeler fan, one thing you were always basically guaranteed to see was people flying around hitting people in the mouth. It didn't matter exactly what was going on with the offense. But one thing you can hang your hat on is seeing a physical style of football defensively. People going at it like it was their last opportunity to go at it. And that's not what we're seeing. And if you played for the Steelers in years past, if you rooted for the Steelers your entire life, that has to be one of the more disappointing things that we're seeing from this team is the lack of energy, the lack of toughness, the lack of individuals imposing their will from what we grew up loving to see from Pittsburgh.
B-Mac, you mentioned the thing that happens to you, the feeling that washes over you when you put on that jersey, right? Do you think too many of the guys in this organization now expect that when they put that jersey on, it's just gonna happen? It's just gonna be like a light switch gets flipped, and that they're not putting in the work. We've heard so much talk about practice lately that they're not putting in the work, or that they don't have the same blood and guts mentality that guys like you and Ryan Clark and Casey Hampton and Troy Polamalu had.
You know what? I don't want to make that assumption because I don't know exactly what is going through the minds of the players that are currently on the roster. But whatever is going on is not translating to game day, right? That's something that we all could agree on, even with you and me not being at practice every day. Whatever is going on is not translating to the football field on game day. So I think, based on what I experienced when I was there, we had sound leadership. And I'm not saying this group doesn't have leadership, but when I was there, leaders made sure guys went at it like it was the last during the week of prep. And then it made the games easier because you was already prepared to go to battle because you went to battle Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you competed. And you fought hard. And if you didn't fight hard, there's a man behind you that wanted an opportunity, and you didn't want him to have that opportunity. It was friendly competition at its finest. And it was personal for us. It was very, very personal. We had guys who really didn't like the people we were playing against. I remember Joey Porter, when I first got drafted in 2005, I was wondering why he was always trying to fight someone before the game started. Because it was personal for him. I used to always wonder why James Harrison used to walk around me mugging everybody that didn't have on a Steeler color. It was personal. I used to wonder why Ike Taylor was cussing out every wide receiver during pregame warm-up. Larry Foote going crazy. James Ferrier. These guys were, it was personal. And then when the game started, oh my goodness, it was an organized fight for four quarters.
Brian McFadden,
in play, out of play,
joining us. This is spectacular. Hey, remember your time? Remember back to playing? Tell me about game day and how the defensive calls went. How much influence did Mike T have on making calls?
Well, he didn't have that much based on my time there because, you know, we had legendary Dick LeBeau, mm-hmm. The Fire Zone creator. And you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of defenses that were pretty good. You know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of a few number one defenses, totally, you know, pass, defense, rushing, whatever the case may be. And throughout my time there, you know, Coach LeBeau was the man in charge. Now, I'm not saying Mike T didn't have any emphasis because, you know, he comes from a defensive background.
Right.
But when it came to, you know, mostly dialing up some heat for us, you know, on game day, you know, that was Dick LeBeau's thing. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I don't know what the current situation is. As far as, you know, who's calling plays and who's taking over during situational moments. But collectively, you know, everything needs to be improved. Everything needs to be ramped up fast because that's, you know what, guys, I'm going to keep it real with you. When I watched that Cincinnati yesterday, it was like we kind of came out flat, right? But the most discouraging thing that I'm seeing from our defense, guys, one thing we used to always emphasize, Dickie used to say all the time, one thing we won't allow is a team to run the football on us. That's not going to happen. We're going to make them not run the football. Secondary guys, we want them to throw. So understand that. But no one is going to run on our defense. The last 3 weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense have allowed an average of 195 yards per ball game in the last three ball games. That's against Cincinnati, the Chargers, and the Detroit Lions, and a total of 7 rushing touchdowns in those three ball games. That is not the Steeler way. Because when you allow a team to run the football on you, they're basically walking into your house, turning your TV, going in your refrigerator and getting some cold juice and sitting down and just controlling the flow of your household when they don't pay one bill.
Playing your Xbox, too. They're playing your Xbox, B-Mac.
Well, I'm not an Xbox guy. I'm a PlayStation guy. So, you know, to each his own, whatever you have in your living room, they're going to play it as well. But think about that, though. Think about that stat. In the last three ball games, you played against Cincinnati, the Chargers, and the Lions. And right now, maybe only one of those teams may get an opportunity to get into the postseason. That's probably Cincinnati. But you allowed almost 200 yards on the ground.
Well, let me ask you this, B-Mac, former Steelers corner, CBS Sports football analyst. He's got the All Things Covered podcast with his cousin Patrick Peterson, Bryant McFadden with us here on the Fan Morning Show. A former teammate of yours, Chris Hoch, said about Devin Bush the other day, it looks like he's playing without any heart. Devin's a kid from your neck of the woods, Hollywood, Florida, right? When you look at Devin Bush right now, what do you see?
I'm not seeing the same player that I saw in high school, when the Flanagan High School, one of the best linebackers to come out of Broward. I'm not seeing the same player that I saw at Michigan. And I'm not seeing the same player that I saw in this rookie campaign. Me personally, I don't know, is it more injury related or not being fully over that injury he sustained last year, which was the ACL, if not mistaken, or if it's more above the shoulder related mentally, or it could be a combination of both, because it's not like Devin can't play, right? I just gave you a rundown of what he's been as a player, high school, collegiately, and now professionally, early in his professional career. But the guy we're seeing right now is not the same guy that got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round that had a phenomenal rookie campaign. So it might be a little bit of both, but I don't know. We don't know. You don't know. You know what I mean? But just from what we see, no, Hoke is dead on, but something is going on. And I remember, I go back to, you know, some of the things he was doing on social media during the summertime, during the offseason, you know, on Twitter. And it didn't seem like a normal Bush. You know what I'm saying? Everything was kind of a little, it seemed different. It was different, right? Mm-hmm. And now when you transition to what he's doing on the football field or the lack thereof, it's like, what's going on? And sometimes, as fans, I understand fans, they're heavily invested in the game. But you're not more invested than the actual people that's playing. No one hurts more than the guys that actually are playing the game. And sometimes fans need to be mindful of what they're saying and how critical they are of a particular player, because you don't know exactly what they're going through that's allowing a flow of criticism to come from anyone who's watching them play. Because mentally, there's a lot that players are going through. And when you combine the physical nature that people go through, players, it's something going on there that we don't know. But we know one thing, guys, we will all agree on. That's not the Devin Bush that we drafted. Not the Devin Bush that was flying around making plays with rookie campaign. And something is going on.
You know his dad? Have you talked to his dad at all?
I haven't spoken to his dad. Of course, you know, Florida State guy, Devin Bush. See, I haven't spoken to his dad in a while. You know, me personally, I'm pretty sure the team is, you know, keeping things intact, trying to figure out what's going on. But that's just my personal assessment. Because it'd be one thing if he came to the league and couldn't play, right? Then you'd be like, okay, well, you know, he just ain't got it. He just ain't that guy. But remember when his rookie campaign, man, it was like, uh-oh, that could potentially be the next great inside linebacker in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. And now everything's kind of flatlined, but something is going on. It could be the injury, you know what I mean? Might not be fully confident that he's 100% healthy. It could be mentally, you know, dealing with, man, I ain't really well, because I played the game before it hurt. And I can tell you this much, playing the game hurt and you know you hurt, you're going to be bad because you don't fully believe you can get the job done because of the physical issues that you're dealing with. But something is going on with 5-5, and I just tell fans who's listening to me right now, I understand you guys are invested. But think about it. You think you're more invested in the guys that are actually playing and losing? You think you feel worse than they feel? So be mindful of the things that you say, because you don't know exactly what players are going through that's allowing that flow of criticism.
Really great discussion. B-Mac, we appreciate it. I did see one Steeler not invested once. LeGarrette Blount was not invested, B-Mac. Can you give me that much at least?
Hey, it didn't work out as well as people thought for LeGarrette, but he had a heck of a career, though.
No, you're right.
In Pittsburgh, it didn't work out as well as people thought, but everywhere else, he had a heck of a career.
Absolutely. Great discussion. We appreciate it. As always, you're our guy, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
B-Mac. Really interesting stuff. He kind of cut it in between understanding the fans and siding with the player a little bit, but understanding both sides of it. And that's why I would love talking to him.
Yeah.
Really do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.